gave it away.
Oh, speaking of that, I want to thank all those that signed up to ring the bell today out at the mall. Appreciate it so much. And I know the Ravens do too.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Rick, can you turn this either off the monitors or down just a little bit? There's a...
You don't like that feedback?
I don't like the feedback. I'm sorry.
You
know, no feedback. From gas smell to feedback, this has kind of been an interesting morning, to say the least. Hey, if you are children's church age, that's kindergarten through fifth grade, or if you think you're a child at heart and you don't want to be in here with me, you're more than welcome to go with Pastor Craig. He's more than willing to take you. Well, hey! Something not right about that. How y'all doing today? Good? Guys, this is not... No. How are you doing today? Are you good? If you're good, say amen. All right, I'll believe you. So 2 weeks ago, we talked about oil in the lamp. I don't know if you remember that, if you were here. We talked about walking through the valleys and what it means to be in the valley, what the purpose is of being in the valley. Last week, Pastor Max talked to you about the salvation. He talked to you about the salvation of Jesus and what that means. And he referenced John 3:16, and he went through the 21st verse. As he was doing that, he went into verse 19 and did the 19, 20, and 21, and that really sparked revelation for me. And so I thought, you know what, I'm going to prepare a message for it. Lo and behold, the guy gets sick, and here I am. So, but I want to go back to John 3, and I want to start with verse 19, and it says this. This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But he who practices the truth comes to the light so that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God. Okay, so now it's time to rewind. Let's talk about what the light is, and we find that in the first chapter of John. When you read John, John's whole purpose is to bear testimony to this light, and so we want to go back and find out what he's talking about. So he says this, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. That light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." Okay, so this light that John is talking about is obviously who? Jesus, right. If you read on in your Bible, and you can make note of this, I think it's verse 14 it starts. The Bible says, John 1:14 says, "And the Word became flesh." So in other words, Jesus came to this earth. Jesus was around from the very beginning, but Jesus became flesh, and he came to this earth. That's why we celebrate Christmas, right? So this light comes to this earth, so now we know what this light is, and we understand the judgment. But here's the question. How on earth do we walk in the light? I don't know about you, but I want to walk in the light, especially if the Bible says that darkness can't overcome it, right? We talked about this a couple weeks ago. If we were to close all the curtains in here, and if we were to shut all the lights off, and one of you turned your phone flashlight on your smartphone, some of you who don't have smartphones, they do that. It's pretty cool. You ought to get one. Dave. And hey, Dave, yes. Anyway, if we were to turn that one flashlight on, darkness could not overpower it, right? The only way to turn that flashlight off is for you to turn that flashlight off yourself, or for the battery to run dead, for the oil in your lamp, this figuratively speaking, for the oil in your lamp to run dry. So if darkness can't overpower the light, I want to walk in the light because I don't want to be overcome by darkness. Amen? Amen. Amen. Okay, so before we talk to this, I want to tell you, admittingly, this is a true story, I don't like the dark. Do we have anybody in here who's afraid of the dark? Admit it with me. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you. No guys raised their hand. Come on, guys. Thanks, Tracy. I appreciate that. There we go. So I honestly, at night, I have trouble sleeping because I'll lay there. Does your mind race?
Yes.
My mind races too. And when it's racing, when my mind is racing, or if I have anxiety or whatever the case may be, there's no way I want to sit in a completely dark room. I want that light, right? Because the light is somewhat comforting. To have that on, it's a comfort, because darkness can't overcome the light. So spiritually speaking, darkness can't overcome the light. A child gets made fun of for being afraid of the dark, right? How many of you were made fun of for being afraid of the dark? Yeah. I'll probably get it after the service is over too, right? Will you stand beside me afterwards? Okay. Thank you. But listen, there's an innocence to that. There's an innocence to being afraid of the dark, because we're not meant to be in the dark. We're not meant to live in the dark. We're not meant to exist in the dark. We're meant to exist in light. We're meant to exist where light shines. We can't exist in the dark. So there's an innocence to that. And as our innocence disappears, have you noticed this? As our innocence disappears, and as we grow older, we, unless you're Diane and I and Maggie and Casey, right? Did I say your name right? Back in the back, Addington? Did I say your name right? Amanda. Casey's your sister. So when you get old and you get gray hair, then you can have the excuse of not even remembering names. Okay, so there we go. So unless you're one of us, as you get older, as your innocence disappears, you kind of become less afraid of the dark, right? Now, I've become less afraid of the dark. To be honest, if I'm tired, I can go to bed, turn all the lights out. 5 minutes, I'm asleep. No problem. All right. But as our innocence disappears, we kind of have that, but it's the wrong kind of motive. We don't fear the darkness because sometimes we like the darkness. And that's a scary place to be. When you like the darkness, it's kind of a scary place to be. And I don't want to be in the dark. Okay, so we're at Matthew 28, and I want to talk about how to walk in the light. And I want to start with verse 16. It says this: the 11 disciples, Judas had already committed suicide because he had already betrayed Jesus. So the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had designated. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some were doubtful. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Okay, that is pretty self-explanatory, right? We're supposed to go out and we're supposed to make disciples. We're supposed to show people that we live by his commands that he gave us, and that's kind of walking in the light, right? We kind of miss something, though, in this teaching. And I want to take you over to Mark 16, and I want to start with the 14th verse, because Mark gives a little bit more insight what it means to truly go out and to truly walk in the light. And it says this: afterward, he appeared to the 11 as they were reclining at the table, and he approached them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they had not believed those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. These signs will accompany those who have believed." Here's the key: in my name they will cast out demons. They would be able to speak with new tongues. They would pick up serpents, and if they drink any deadly poison, it won't hurt them. How many of you are ready to pick up snakes? Me neither. It will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. So then, when the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. They went out and they preached everywhere while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the word by the signs that followed. And they promptly reported all these instructions to Peter and his companions. After that, Jesus himself sent out through them from east to west the sacred and imperishable proclamation of eternal salvation. So I want to say this to you about all the stuff that was written here. A lot of people think that this was for the early church. This kind of thing can't happen anymore, right? All of those amazing miracles and all that, that was for the Bible times. But I want to ask you this. What did Jesus do here on this earth? Somebody tell me. What did Jesus? What are some of the things that Jesus did on the earth when he walked the earth?
Healed the sick.
What else?
Cast out demons.
What else? Blind to see. The deaf could hear. Spoke in new tongues. If these are the things that Jesus did, and our purpose in this day and age, the purpose of the church is to continue the work of Jesus, to continue the ministry of Jesus, to be the, what I'm going to call it, the manifest presence of Jesus here on this earth until he comes back. If we are to represent Christ, then why are these things dead today? And I'm going to say to you, they're not. Because if they're not, if they were dead, Jesus Christ would be irrelevant today in this world. And he would be irrelevant to you and I. Okay? So there is a work that needs to be done. And there are things that can be done that we are to be able to do to walk in the light. This message, as I was putting it together, you know, a pastor sometimes searches for 3 points. So I'm thinking, okay, I can do 3 points maybe. If I come up with 3 points, then we're good to go. I come up with 3 points, and I ended up with 3 points to every 3 point that I have. I'm like, this, I don't know what to make of this. This is not funny. But the first thing that he showed me was there's actually 3 kinds of baptism. I don't know if you know this. There's the baptism of repentance. That's the one that John was doing. When you read about it in the Bible, John was down at the Jordan, and he was baptizing people. It was for the repentance of their sins. Then there's the baptism of salvation. That's to be accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You're baptized into that. Then the third kind of baptism is this baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, a lot of you are going, I only got baptized one time. I went underwater once. Unless Max didn't soak me enough, or unless Max doesn't like me, you know, I only went under once. So what is this 3 baptism type thing? And this is a spiritual deal, guys. This isn't like you got to go under 3 separate times. This is a rendering of your heart. This is a rendering of your mind. This is a rendering of your soul to Jesus and everything that Jesus stands for. So I want to give you an example of the fact that there are 3 baptisms, just because the Bible says that where there's 2 or 3 witnesses, that it sort of validates things. So here it is in Acts 19:1-7. It happened that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through the upper country and came to Ephesus and found some disciples. He said to them, "Do you receive the Holy Spirit when you believe?" And they said to him, "No, we've not even heard of whether there is a Holy Spirit." And he said to them, "Into what then were you baptized?" And they said, "Into who?" John's baptism. They were baptized into repentance. Paul said this, "John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling them that the people to believe in him who was coming after him," that is in Jesus. That's the salvation baptism. "When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of Jesus." Okay, and then when Paul had laid his hands upon them, what came onto them? The Holy Spirit came onto them, and they began speaking with tongues and prophesying. There were in all about 12 of them. Okay, so there are 3 kinds of baptism. There's the baptism of repentance, there's the baptism of salvation, and there's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. How many of you would like to be baptized into the Holy Spirit? Yeah. How many of you would love to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit? If you broke out into tongues, right? Without ever having a drink, if you broke out into new tongue, right? And people would go, "It's 9 o'clock in the morning. You went over to the bar already?" And you would go, no. "I got the power of the Holy Spirit." "Really?" "Yeah, I got the power of the Holy Spirit. I can speak in new tongues." And even better, if somebody could come up and go, yeah, and I know what he's saying. What? You were at the bar too at 9 a.m.? No, it's the power of the Holy Spirit. I want the power of the Holy Spirit. And this is the first thing that I can tell you that the Holy Spirit does. It reveals truth. When I was preparing a Bible study, I was preparing Daniel Bible study a while back. And sometimes, I've told you this before, if I'm in the church alone, like if there's nobody around, nobody can watch me and see me, I talk to myself out loud. And it's very productive, actually. I preach to myself out loud. It's really productive. Don't make fun of me, because I'm afraid of the dark and I talk to myself out loud. I might talk to myself in bed at night. I have no idea. But anyway, as I do that, the Holy Spirit talks to me. And so I'm preparing this Daniel study, and I'm thinking about all of these different things, and I want to talk about how God's promises are important and all the amazing things that he's got promised. And one of them was the fact that Israel is going to come back and be a nation. They're not going to be broken up into two kingdoms anymore. And I'm going on, and God says, yeah, just like in Ezekiel 37. That comes out of my mouth. Yeah, just like in Ezekiel 37. And I go, what's in Ezekiel 37? I don't know what Ezekiel 37 is. And so I go to open up Ezekiel 37, and it talks about dry bones being restored, and it talks about the nation of Israel being restored back to one nation, undivided. And I'm going, wow, I need to talk to myself more often. But that's what happens. The Holy Spirit can come upon you, and he can talk to you. And it might not be an audible voice, but you can feel it in the center of your being. You can feel it in your gut, and you know it, and you can test it. When you can go into the Bible, you can test it, because the Holy Spirit reveals truth. Listen to this. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit reveals to us truth. The Holy Spirit also gives us authority. It gives us authority over our sickness. It gives us authority over our adversary. How many of you would like to walk in healing right now? Yes. How many of you would like to say, just be healed and it be done, right? Don, I'm so glad that you're here today. Don said, when he walked in, he said, I'm here because, you know, I've had some issues, and the doctors can't figure it out. You know, all of these people can't figure it out. Maybe it's time to see the good Lord, right? And you know what? I think all of us are like that at times. Sometimes we need to come in here because, you know what? It's time to see the good Lord. And maybe it's time to understand for all of us that healing comes from God. Healing comes from the Holy Spirit, no matter what. God can use physicians, doctors, medicine, whatever he wants. But listen, all healing comes from God. How many of you have seen cancer patients go through chemotherapy and it did not heal them? Okay. How many of you have taken medicine for something that was supposed to help fix the symptom and it did not fix the symptom? Okay. This is proof. This should be proof to you that healing comes from God, and we need to trust in God for the healing first and foremost. Now, God can use whatever he wishes to heal you, and he can talk to you because he reveals truth, right? And he can use whatever he wishes to heal you, but healing ultimately comes from God. So, and he gives us authority over our sicknesses. These people, the disciples, they went out, and part of their signs and wonders for people to believe in Jesus was that they were healing people. Like, they were coming up, and they were going, Don Humes, be healed in the name of Jesus. And he was healed. And somebody like Don would be, I believe, because the sign's there. A testament to God giving us life and giving it abundant is Nick. I don't know if you heard him, but he's 93. Can you imagine that? 93 years old. How many of you want to live to be 93? Some of us, not so much. Some of us are going, this world is getting pretty crazy. I don't know if I want to be around for the next 70 years or whatever it is. Let's see, what would it be for me? It doesn't matter. Anyway.
58.
Thank you, Charles. Keep your math to yourself. Anyway, so the Holy Spirit gives us authority over our sickness, but he gives us authority over our adversary. Do you know that God does not have an enemy? Listen, the devil can't even come close to God because God is far greater than the devil. Can you believe that? So the devil is nothing to God. In fact, 2,000 years ago, when Jesus went out into the wilderness to be tempted, he defeated the devil. Because to that point, there was no human being that could defeat the devil and to defeat the temptations of the devil. Ever since Adam, no human being could do it. Jesus goes out into the wilderness 40 days praying and fasting. And then he's tempted by the devil. And guess what? He defeats the devil. In fact, he defeats the devil in his own dominion. You understand that? It's not like he went to... Did I offend them? Really? Really? Hey, Jimmy, turn your lights on. There you go. Wow. Have fun ringing the bell. Amen. Sorry you're missing my sermon. That's Fergicus. Jesus defeated the devil in his own dominion, guys. He went into the devil's kingdom, into the wilderness, and he defeated the devil in his own dominion. That should tell you something, that God has all authority over the devil. And guess what? Jesus said this, "All authority has been given to me, and I give it to you." You have authority over the devil. You have authority. If you believe in Jesus Christ, you have authority over the devil. The Holy Spirit also is always forward thinking. Okay, so that was the third of the second three that, I had three of 3 points. Yeah, that's the third of the second three, is that the Holy Spirit is always forward thinking. So in other words, my favorite passage is, it's in Exodus, and it's so much my favorite that I can't remember the number. But it's in Exodus, I can assure you that, where what happens is Moses is in the wilderness and God speaks to him and they're grumbling about the water. And so God speaks to him and says, "Strike the rock." And so Moses strikes the rock with his staff and the rock splits and water comes gushing out. A little bit later, they're grumbling about water again, not having water again. And so God says to Moses, "Speak to the rock." And Moses is going. And he takes his staff and he goes up and strikes the rock. And when he strikes the rock, water comes out. But God gets a little upset with him. So much so that because of that one incident, Moses can't enter into the promised land. Okay? Because God is saying, "I want you to be obedient to me." Because God is a forward thinker. And we need to understand that too. Sometimes we get into, how many of you get into a thing where you go, "Well, this is what worked in the past. These are the things that worked back then. Or these are the things that happened back then. And so it should work now," right? How many of us get, we all do, I'm sure. And what God is saying is, I'm done with the past. I was there in the past. But I have something planned in the future. And so the present involves the future. The present doesn't involve the past anymore. The present involves the future. I am a forward thinker. I want you to be a forward thinker. And I want you to be obedient to me. That's why Moses couldn't enter the promised land, because how could he ever lead people if he's not on the same track as God, if he's not forward thinking the way that God wants him to be? And so if the Holy Spirit is forward thinking and he wants us to be forward thinkers, here's my last set of three for you, okay? So there are three types of forward thinking. There's faith. There's hope. Can you guess the last one? There's love. There's faith, there's hope, and there's love. These are the three types of forward thinking. And some of you are saying, well, okay, forward thinking, worry is a type of forward thinking, isn't it? I want to say this, yes it is, but worry involves faith. So faith has good and bad attributes. You can have faith in the wrong things. You can have faith in the right things. You can have faith in the wrong people. I'm sure a lot of us have been there. You can have faith in the right people. So worry is a type. Let's take Peter, for example. Peter sees Jesus. They all see Jesus out walking on the water. And Peter cries out and he says, Jesus, if that's you, Lord, if that's you, call out to me and I'll come out and walk on the water. So Jesus says, come, right? So Peter gets out. Peter has faith in Jesus. So he gets out of the water or out of the boat and walks on the water. Pretty soon logic starts setting in. And Peter's going, I'm walking on water. This is scary stuff. There's waves coming. There's a storm. There's things going on. I shouldn't be walking on water. And Peter's faith begins to turn from Jesus into something completely different. And what happens to Peter? He sinks. He begins to drown. And so Jesus comes back up, and he holds out his hand, and he pulls him back up, and he says, ye of little faith. So faith is a huge, huge thing when it comes to the Holy Spirit. And if we're going to have faith in the Holy Spirit, we have to shift our faith from natural thinking, from the logic thinking, to the spiritual thinking, to thinking, you know what? If Jesus has full authority, if Jesus has full authority and he's given us authority, then we can overcome these things too, right? If Jesus has given us authority, now let's think logically. If Jesus has given us authority and Jesus has overcome, then that means we ought to be able to overcome too. And that's the thing that we can put our faith in, because the Word says so. So if you're going through a sickness, if you're going through an emotional struggle or a battle, if you're going through a spiritual battle, Jesus has given us authority to overcome. We have to walk in the Holy Spirit. It's interesting. Jesus says faith the size of a mustard seed can move what? Mountains. And yet, he would tell people, like Peter, ye of little faith. And you're going, wait a minute. Faith the size of a mustard seed. And then you go, ye of little faith. Something's not right there. What's that about? And I'm thinking this. Let's go back to the oil in the lamp. If you put oil in a lamp and you burn the wick, isn't a flame a flame? I mean, a flame is a flame, right? The only way to make it bigger maybe is to pull the wick out more so that more of the wick burns at once. But a flame is a flame. Faith the size of a mustard seed is faith. The problem is we don't keep our lamp filled up. The problem is we don't keep instilling that faith, that we don't keep hearing the Word. Faith comes from hearing the Word and the message and all those things. So if we don't keep that going in us, what happens to that flame? It goes away. Yeah, it burns out. So we need to have that faith. We need to have that hope. And most importantly, the Bible says the greatest of all of them is what four-letter word? Love. Yeah, it's important to listen to the Holy Spirit because he is a forward thinker. The Holy Spirit reveals truth. The Holy Spirit has given us authority. We can walk in authority through the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is a forward thinker. So as we move forward in life, I want to ask you one question. Are you ready to walk in the light? Because the Bible says this. If there's one unforgivable sin, it's denying the power of the Holy Spirit. It's denying the very existence of the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you, but that's not something I want to be. I don't want to have to go to God for that one. I don't want to have to go to God and say, I didn't believe in the Holy Spirit. I didn't believe in your power. I didn't believe in your truth, in your word. I want to go to God and say, man, I craved your power. I craved your truth. I craved your word because I'm afraid of the dark and I'm proud of it. Right? I'm afraid of the dark and I'm proud of it. I want to walk in the light. So as we move forward, are you ready to walk in the light? Are you ready? Are you craving it? Do you want it? Do you want healing in your life, in your family members' life? Do you want healing in your friends' lives? Do you want to see salvation sweep over? Do you want to see people going, I don't want to live in despair anymore. I want to live in joy. I understand trials. I understand having issues in life. Guess what? We're not in heaven. I get that. But there are times that I think that we can go through things and go, you know what? I'm okay because it's not completely dark. It's not completely dark. There is a light that exists. And I pray that each and every one of you would seek the light. I pray that each and every one of you would crave the light that God has to offer you. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much that you have given us the life and the light. I pray that all life and all light we can recognize comes from you. And Father, I pray that you would instill in us the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray that if there is somebody here today that is craving it, that wants it, that is not sure that they have it, Father, I pray right now that you would lay your hand on them and that the Holy Spirit would consume them, would overwhelm them. I pray all sickness that is in this room today be healed. I pray it, and I claim it in the name of Jesus. I pray that all emotional things that are going on in our minds, Father, I pray that you would restore balance to it. I pray that we would walk in security and confidence knowing that you've got this. I pray for no more of this worry, no more of this fear. And Father, I pray too that we would understand that we can walk in your ways and walk in your light, and we can find joy and peace also in you. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.